We focus on the externals as people are still people of the world. I told you, the day I went to the American embassy, the thing really made me laugh. This girl was denying everybody visa, and I told myself, as God is my witness, I'm not preaching to you. But you know what I mean? Trying to sound nice. As God is my witness, there were three people interviewing people. And everybody, the guy after me, was saying, hey God, dude, don't let us meet this woman. I told him, for what? I said, in fact, I'm interested in meeting her. I want to know what it is that's her problem. And you know what? The Holy Spirit heard it. The angels heard it. When it was my turn, there was one of the other two ladies. Those ones were white. I was supposed to go. It was my turn. So I said, okay, so I'm meeting this girl. All right. Then the girl got up and decided to go for a coffee break. Very nice. The next one, they stood forever there. They had finished the interview, but they were writing paper. Of course, this woman, of course, suddenly her door opened. And I said, Father, I thank you. So I walked up to her. Do you have your pay slip? I said, I don't. I didn't know I would need it. So you have your bank statement? I said, I do. Is it a salary account? I said, yes, most certainly. I passed the paper to her. She did like this. I said, what is the problem? God is my witness. I said, what's the problem? So your balance is too low. I said, you asked whether it was a salary account. I earned the money there and I spend it. I have not added one word to what I told you. Those were the very words I gave to her. I said, I earned the salary through there and I spend it. I don't keep it there. It's my salary account. Was that not what you asked me? You want to look at me like, ha? So now real, I'm adding my own words now. I'm a real troublemaker. And I said, oh, are you one who's going to pay for the trip? I'm not paying. It's a sponsored trip. It's an official issue. I gave her the... He said, who's paying? I said, UICC. Gave her the papers. She saw it. Okay, so the money is coming from somewhere. We chatted here and there. At the end of the day, I told her, I said, do you have children? I said, I do. You're not saving up for them. Keep money for my children's future in a bank account. In my mind, you don't have faith. But I said, don't worry. This is not what I'm saying for my children. Don't worry. I have... So she was still doing like this. I said, what more do you want? I said, you want more proof that I'm going to come back? I said, listen, there's no chance in a million that I won't come back to my country. I said, you want to see my marriage certificate and stuff like that? She made a statement which I can't over. He said, oh, I should forget that one. He said, do you know how many Nigerians abandon their wife and children and go to America? I said, you're very correct. We stood there and we're talking to and fro, and you know, after a while, I said, let me tell you something. She said, and I said, okay, can you come back on Tuesday? I said, no, I came from Enugu, I can't come back. That, can a friend pick up the visa for me? She said, yes. So I gave the name of the friend and everything. And I said, can I tell you something? She said, what? I said, I was wondering why everybody was afraid to come and meet you. Actually, I wanted to meet you. He said, you were talking about me. I said, of course, you were denying everybody visa. Why won't we talk about you? And she said, well, you know, there's nothing to it once you are genuine. I said, how do you know I'm genuine? She had no answer. He said, well, I just believe you. Fine. We chatted a bit. The chat will have continued for the next 30 minutes. Now, why were we chatting? For me, partly because there was no spirit of begging in me. Look, let me tell you the truth. As God is my witness, who I say with all my heart. It was the morning before I went there. My interview was from, I think, 9 or 10. Around 8 when I was leaving the hotel where I stayed in Abuja. I just remember that I have not asked the Lord for this visa. I'm not joking. God is my witness. It just dawned on me that I've not even asked God for it. And I knelt down, I stood beside my bed. I said, Lord, for the records, I won't come this far if I'm not planning to go for this course. I said, dear Lord, I'm therefore asking you to give it to me. You know why it came like that? Because I had, you know, my attitude. The thing that so filled everything I was doing, I was wondering, I hope God won't say, okay, Banky, sure you don't want to go. Okay, give it back to me. As I was about to leave, I just said, Banky, do you know you have not at one point said, God, give me this thing. That morning, I said, dear Lord, can I have it? I'm asking you for it. Give it to me. Because my attitude was, in quote, bad. Because as far as I was concerned, I wasn't going to take insult from anybody. As God lived, if she insulted me, I would have answered her back. No, as God lived, then, if you had talked nonsense, I would have answered you back. My chief did it now. When she went to American Embassy in Lagos, the person interviewing her said something. She said, what nonsense? Give me my passport back. He said, go through my passport. Look at the number of times I've been to Britain. Britain that's more organized than your country. They quickly gave her the visa and gave her a passport. I said, why are you insulting me? Are you crazy? But you see, you know the interesting thing? You cannot put up such airs if he is really not like that in your heart. You can't just go there and say, let me go and harass them. Oh, yeah. And security, they will call for you. You will see your passport outside. No, it's because, as a matter of fact, there was one movie I saw, I think it was Richard Gere or somebody. It was a swordsman, I can't remember now. He was so good, one guy who was a local champion came to him. Because they said, okay, you know, he was doing it for money. He fight everybody for small money. He didn't have any job. So they now brought him the local champion in the movie. So he defeated the guy. Just small moves and we defeated that man. So the man now came to him afterwards and said, how did you do that? Can you teach me? The guy said, no problem. Number one, you must be ready to work very hard. Number two, he gave him a number of conditions. The guy said, no, I can do that. I can do that. He said, number three, you mustn't care whether you lived or died. The guy said, what? Obviously, you're not planning to get my skill. Because really, he didn't care. He had nothing to lose. He will fight anybody for anything because he didn't care whether he lived or died. What I'm saying is that the truth was that I really did not care. You know what I mean? It wouldn't hurt me. The only loss I will have suffered is the cost of flight ticket to Abuja and back. So I really would not have cared whether I lived, in quotes now, or I died. I'm bringing out an issue. Is that victor's spirit? That's what I'm saying. And you go for an interview. You have to go because it's perceptible. Somebody can perceive it. They will know. You look like, you know, according to John Gillick, you feel a man's spirit crawling inside him. The spirit is crawling. Hello? Morning, sir. Man is tired of you. He's looking for the smallest opportunity to kick you out of the place. But when you, because you don't put this thing on. If it's there, it's there. That's why you need to get the word of God. Feed yourself with that word until it's really there. Not that when you enter the place, you sit down. Good morning, sir. The man feels like, yeah, men are talking. They interview each other. You interview the man. Ask him a few questions about the company. Ask, what about, how are you guys, last time I was reading the papers, I heard that you guys are up to this. How far with everything? Okay, you guys all right? All right, okay. You answer your own question at the end of the day. Listen, the man will like you. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about that power of the spirit. That's what we use, though. It's not just it's not trick and gimmicks. That's why you talk to your business every day. You speak to it. Draw the picture of your future company, the one that God allows you to know. Put it on the wall. Get somebody to draw it for you and print it. When you are going out in the morning, you be in the name of Jesus and keep going. Right now, you have only one shop, one small, a corner of a shop that you are renting with somebody else. But you have drawn one 15-story building. And on top of it, you put the name of your company. And you put it there. Every day when you are going to look at it, you be in the name of Jesus. You keep going. One day it will so happen. You know, John G. Lake described something inside his one of his books. Alright? He said that as a young boy, he went into an office. The most beautiful office he had ever seen in his life. He went with his father. He went in a private elevator. This was many, many years ago, around maybe 1920-something. He was a little boy. So he had never seen anything. When he entered the man's office, that the rug was so thick, he thought he was going to fall through the rug down onto the floor. And then he saw the table. And on it was written, John McCall. And his soul, he desired it. As a young boy, I think it was 10 or 12, thereabout, he never said anything to anybody about it. And he left, of course, never discussed with anybody. When he was about 30, 35, some of his people started an insurance company, and they said he would be the best man to head it. So for days, they negotiated on how much they would pay, all the terms and everything. Finally, they had an agreement. He now told him, come, I want to show you something. They opened the door and brought him into his office. He said, there it was, an exact replica of that office he saw as a little boy. the same thickness of rock, the same design of table, the same pure mahogany table. Said the only difference was that on top of the nameplate, in what they call mother of pearl, the material they used, said instead of John McCall, what he saw was John G. Lake. That was the only difference. And this was something he never discussed with anybody. Listen, life is spiritual. From inside him, something rose up, went out and created events. That's why I've been teaching what I call the strength of spirit. The only way you can develop a strong spirit is by imbibing the word of God. That's why I did this series, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies, for people to know that we are not playing games like people of the world. We have a power working towards us because we believe. God is doing mighty things through us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What we are doing is cooperating with God. Listen to me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And let me tell you something. When Jesus said something, he said that whatever you believe, you ask. Believe, you know, if you heard me teach about it, that what he actually said was not just believe. It's if you can come to the point of believing, and you come to that point of believing by imbibing the truth, and let people stop wearing down your faith. It's a bad year. They're all now in Davos, Switzerland now, discussing World Economic Summit. How will we come out? I said, why don't they ask themselves, how did they enter? No, really, if they will all settle down and tell themselves how they entered, they say Iceland has appointed a new prime minister, the first openly lesbian woman prime minister in the world. I say, and they want to come out of economic hardship. You have set a stage to turn the spirits of people like us against you, and you want to come out of economic hardship. Watch it. After a few months, you will kick her out. You will keep on changing. You want to show God it doesn't matter. You have now appointed a certified lesbian as your first, that you set a record that we in Iceland, we are the first to show the rest of the world we don't give a damn what God says about morality. We appointed an openly lesbian person as our prime minister. You want to come out of economic hardship? No problem. God said, no, wahala. Just watch now. Unless no be me sending her into the thing. He said, I, the Lord, I bring forth good and I create evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, we are not playing games. We understand that there is a power that works towards them who believe. And that if we cooperate with God, all right, we will always come out triumphant. You know what he said? He said, the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. 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 His kingdom rules over what? All. Every aspect of business. So any man who works in the kingdom of God is automatically a triumphant person. That's what we are saying. That's what we are trying to do. Learn the principles of the kingdom. I went out of this. I said, that question that Chike asked me was a good point to start. What about unfair competition? I said, you hurt me to your own peril. He said, I will contend with them that contend with you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, he that blesses you, that's why I said, do good to everybody. Because you don't know the person that God is trying to bless. So when you do him good, you incur more good for yourself. But if you mistakenly turn yourself into an adversary of a man that God wants to bless, the best that God can do for you is to wake you up at night one day and say, be careful. Be careful, though. Which was what he did to Abimelech. Do you get my point? Do you get my point? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. There was something else, two things I said I wanted to say. All right, let me just quickly go into them. I wanted to say something earlier about, you know, the spirit of everything has a spirit. Human beings have a spirit. All right? And every business has a spirit. Do you know one reason why Toyota overtook GM as the best-selling car company in the world? Because they have a particular spirit. And that spirit is a triumphant kind of spirit. Let me define the character. They believe in what? A culture of continual improvement. Continual improvement. Now, that's a triumphant kind of culture. Now, but what I want to bring out is that they have a spirit. Are you following me? And that's why eventually they have to overtake GM as the best car selling company in the world. Now, when you say a car is the best selling in the world, you know what it just means? It means Americans buy it. You know why? They buy most of the cars in the world. They do. The Europeans don't buy anything. Africans don't have money. They are laughing. This is a lie. It's only people like you that will rise up and really, really create a prosperous nation. You know, we don't understand. You know, in Nigeria now, you know, somebody buys a brand new car, it's talk of town. Do you follow my point? It's a sign that everybody is poor. That buying a brand new car is a talk of town, it's a sign that everybody is poor. And a typical American who has a job can go out in a bus in the morning and drive back in a brand new Camry in the afternoon. That's prosperity in the nation. Do you get my point? And you say, how did they get it? They just show to them that he's earning about $2,000 a month and that he can pay them their $250 they want every month. So he's on lease for the next 2 years. So he drives the car. So you see, when a car is the best in the world, when it's best selling, it just means Americans buy it a lot. And because of their patriotic nature, Americans are typically very, very patriotic. All right? That's why GM still sells. An American will buy a GM before he buys anything else, or a Ford or a Chrysler. It's only when you have shown him that it's not safe. So that's Toyota worked very hard and was able to penetrate the American market. Lexus was selling only, in fact, Lexus was made for America. You know that? Toyota just looked and said, what can we do to these people? So they sat down, and for 10 years, their engineers were designing. You know, let me tell you something. What is overnight success? Is that like God just gives you a sudden breakthrough based on long night? Do you understand my point? Or you just have to follow the proper order. You keep on increasing. Brighter and brighter until the perfect day. They built Lexus. It took them about 10 years of designing new engines. In fact, the designs they put into Lexus now affected the Toyota series. That's how they do it. You know, you get something new, put in a big one, then the next models you put into the smaller ones also. They worked very hard. And then they brought out the Lexus. The idea was to compete with Merck, the top range American cars, and BMW. And it worked. It worked. Because they introduced it at a very low price. They give you the same comfort as a top range Merck at about half its price. And it worked. Alright? Now, that's just by the way. Why am I even talking plenty of that? What was I even trying to say? Why did I go there? I know what I was trying to say. I was just giving you gist. Anyway, it's good to know a lot of things. I didn't forget. So, you see, they had a spirit, alright, of continual improvement. Now, what I'm going to say here is this. The kind of spirit you have decides whether you will make it in life or you won't. If you go, and I have a few scriptures to prove it to you. The reason why Daniel was elevated was because an excellent spirit was found in him. The reason why Joseph was elevated was because an excellent spirit was found in him. It's a law of the spirit. If you have an excellent spirit, you will eventually come out on top. Christians don't understand. That's why they think that once I give an offering, are you getting my point? Then my business will flourish, even though I don't put excellence into what I do. Are you getting my point? We start practicing sorcery. And it's not necessary. Okay? What God will do for you after you have given your offering is to give you what? A spirit of excellence. Because without that, he can't lift you up. You know, anytime I say this, people will laugh. God doesn't want to do miracles that he will tell you, don't tell anybody. See that you tell no man. I was a very foolish person. But after the results, I got the highest mark. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't our God good? Jam your hands together for the Lord. That was a miracle. This brother is a dunce, but he got the best result. This brother is a fool, but he got the best result. Isn't the Lord good? Somebody praise God. As idiocy. God doesn't like that. You know what he likes? Brethren, 5 years ago, when they were doing the exams, I was the dullest. And then I prayed, I said, Dear Lord, this is not becoming of a child of God. And then the spirit of excellence entered into me. Do you know, before the exam, the most difficult subjects that sometimes even the teachers couldn't handle, my colleagues will bring it to me. And God has so worked in me that I became the teacher of them all. So I was not surprised that when the results finally came out, I was number one. God said, yes, that was me.